Okay, this is Kathy. Kathy's Corner.
Hello, good afternoon. We're all feeling good. Maybe a little too good here. Good afternoon. My name is Kathy Connor, and you're listening to Kathy's Corner on WPKN 89.5 FM and streaming online at WPKN.org, and also podcast. Many of you who listen regularly are able to access that and have been on SoundCloud, WPKN Community Radio. My show is part of a series that airs on this station during the week from 12 noon to 1 p.m. And oftentimes there'll be experts sharing their knowledge, and sometimes they open the conversation up to your participation. I don't often do that because we usually run out of time. My show airs the third Wednesday of the month. My expertise is in the field of consciousness. Consciousness is awareness, intelligence, waking, dreaming, sleeping. These are states of consciousness. We're all familiar with those. They're physiologically different from each other, subjectively as well as objectively. And what that means is that they can be measured and experienced. There are different brainwave patterns, blood chemistry is different, respiration's different. And it's throughout the 24-hour cycle that we experience these different values, different states of consciousness as one changes into the next. It's always my pleasure to speak with you and share 45 years of learning and experience in the field of consciousness and the knowledge how to unfold more of its value from deep within the mind. I'm the director of the Transcendental Meditation Program in Fairfield County, Connecticut. TM, for short, is a very specific form of meditation that regularly and systematically provides the experience of the inner value of life, direct contact with the finer fields of the mind in order to unfold the qualities of a higher state of consciousness. It's very much like clearing the fog off the mirror or moving the clouds that are blocking the sun. So if you've heard the show before, you know that the theme is to unfold inner life for more successful outer life. And if you're finding us for the first time, welcome. And in also in every show, I like to emphasize that there are two parts of life, the inner and the outer. And I relate these mechanics of life to something particular, something we can relate to. The outer, the active world, we all know very well. So we're not going to talk a lot about that here. It's the inner we want to know better. It's in the inner, in consciousness at deeper values, where we find the deepest peace, inner peace and balance. So this is the first show of 2019, so Happy New Year. And this is also a time of year that we like to do some reflecting, and we tend to make decisions that improve our lives. We'll do a little evaluating and say, I could do this a little better, or I really could change that habit and start some new ones. And all of it is towards our best health and well-being. And we always aim to be our best self, or we hope to aim to be our best self. So today, in that same theme and spirit, I have some very special guests who will talk about a medical school in Chicago, Loyola University Stritch School of Medicine, and that it's offering to help its medical students become their best selves as they become our physicians who take care of us. So I'm going to introduce our guests, and then we'll open up the the show to them. We'll be speaking with Dr. Jim Bray. He's joining us for this discussion. And he is an alumnus of Loyola's Stritch School of Medicine. Dr. Bray is now retired after 35 years as an OBGYN physician. And he was the initial spark to bring this program to Stritch School of Medicine. He is suggested to the dean and brought in an author who we've actually heard on the show before, Dr. Norman Rosenthal. If you're a seasoned listener, you may have heard that we've talked to him before. He's written a book on transcendence, it's called, and we'll be talking to Dr. Bray about how he brought this program to the school and talk about the actual end result, which is now a accredited course that you can take there. So welcome, Dr. Bray. Thank you for being with us today. I hope you can.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so happy you're connected. This is an experiment for us. having two people at the same time. I'm also speaking today with Dr. Carla Brown, who is a Harvard Graduate School of Education alumna and currently an adjunct professor at Loyola Stritch and works directly with the students teaching this new course. Dr. Brown and her husband, Duncan, also Dr. Richard Carroll, MD, who's a cardiologist and senior medical administrator, also Dr. Gregory Gruner, who is an MD and vice dean of education. They're not all on the phone, because we were working on managing two people, but we're very happy to mention their names because they've all been instrumental in ensuring the medical students at Loyola Stritch have an opportunity to take best care of themselves during these very challenging years as medical students. So, Carla, we're going to be speaking with you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Kathy.
And we look forward to speaking to you. I wanted to start with Dr. Bray because that's where it all seems to be starting from. And can you share with us your experience and why you felt that bringing this experience of learning transcendental meditation for the students at Stritch was an important program for your alma mater?
Sure, Kathy. Thank you. Well, it probably began in the early 70s. I was admitted to Loyola after being a typical high-achieving high school and college kid. And then I found myself in an environment where everybody was a high achiever, and I was no longer number one or two. I was back then, I was probably more type A than I am now, for sure. In my second year at Loyola, I kind of crashed and burned. I actually quit med school. Mm-hmm. And I drifted for a while. Loyola, back then, as it is now, is a very caring institution. And they were on my side even when I was out of school. And they said that they'd do everything to get me back. I was under the care of a psychiatrist for stress and for, you know, anxiety and depression at the time. But I didn't feel that that individual was helping me, and I was blessed to have found an advertisement in my hometown newspaper in upstate New York for TM. This was in the early mid-70s when everything was riding high with transcendental meditation. So I gave it a go, and I learned how to meditate, and virtually overnight, I did 180 flip. Mm. The depression lifted, anxiety, I never experienced it again in my life. I subsequently returned to medical school without any problems and finished. And I was, since the first meditation, I was infused with a joy that's indescribable and a silence that I carried through activity. And I went on to marry my college the med school sweetheart. We had five children. I practiced meditation consistently throughout the next 40-plus years, recommended it to innumerable patients over my time in practice, and found remarkable results. The thing that really drew me deeper into TM than anything was the fact that probably I had a science background, and I really appreciated all the voluminous research that was done on this technique since the 70s and even up until this day. And because of that, I had all five of my kids learn the technique, mostly on their own, because they encountered the same kind of stresses that everybody does. And this is a great, great technique to alleviate that. I said I'm a product of the 70s, and I remember two books that I read back then by Dr. Blumenfeld, I think is his name. Mm. And this really tells you why I wanted to introduce this technique to Loyola 40 years later. The names of the books were TM, How to Alleviate Stress, and the other name of his second bestseller was simply Happiness. And this is what this technique instills in people. It takes away the stress, and it replaces it with a happiness that is beyond anything you can get from the external world. So I'll let Carla talk about the program. The program was instituted about six or seven years ago, and very successful, and it's helped hundreds of new doctors and even the attendings, the old guys and gals that are enmeshed in the soup.
Well, thank you for sharing with us your story, and it makes sense that something that was good for you, you want to share it with others, and you encouraged your family, and then your alma mater, so bringing this to them so that other medical students didn't necessarily have to get lost in the shuffle and could do something to encourage their best self-care. So, Carla, can you tell us a little bit more about the course itself and about why it's so effective for these medical students?
Yes. I think Dr. Greg Gruner, who is Vice Dean of Education at Stretch, put it very well. It took about 8 months from the time we first had Dr. Rosenthal speak, and Dr. Bray came with Dr. Rosenthal, and we addressed the alternative medicine group at Loyola University Chicago Stretch School of Medicine. And Dr. Gruner and Dr. Brubaker at the time, the dean there, said to Duncan and I, we want this for our students. We'd like our students to teach this. And 8 months later, they started the Transcendental Meditation Program themselves. And they said, Dr. Gruner said, this works. I've done other meditations, but this one is easy. It works. And it's not religious. Let's do this. And so we initially started teaching the students in the first year, and then we proceeded to offer an elective, which Dr. Gruner very thoughtfully put together. He said this is important to actually implement the program, and in order to do that, it needs to be part of the curriculum, part of the life for the students. So they received 2 credits. They learn the Transcendental Meditation Program as part of the program, and they also hear from the seasoned and very prominent researchers in the field throughout the year, about 6 classes. But the program's designed to fit into the medical school curriculum and not to interfere with their studies, but really to give them the experience of Transcendental Meditation, and we want to talk about that. But you asked, what does it do for them? And I wanted to mention that for these students, after they've taken these classes, they give us reflections, and they've given us many in-depth summaries of what happened to them as a result of the Transcendental Meditation Program in their life, in their medical life. And they describe a clearing of the mind, that they feel clearer, that they have more focus, that they feel more engaged, that they are more patient with others around them, that they don't procrastinate. In other words, they're mentally much more aware and awake, and that physically they're able to sleep better, that they find symptoms of anxiety and stress are dramatically diminished, just as Dr. Bray was describing, because Dr. Bray is describing some of the most profound of the symptoms that are now afflicting, I would say, half of the young people in our society at an alarming rate, including anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
Now, these are high-performing students, but they're under a lot of pressure. So they find that they have reduced test anxiety, and they find that they're performing better in their exams, and that they are also having good results with interviews and in their clinical experience, where their Loyola is well known as a school where there are wonderful mentoring possibilities for students, but also hands-on clinical practice, and Dr. Bray can speak more to that. But what happens is that the students, have to perform in these situations, and also many times without very much rest. Mm-hmm. So now we have a situation where the students are reporting dramatic results, and this has resulted in them sharing the benefits with their fellow students. And every year, we've typically doubled contribution of participation of the students in our program. So this year we have approximately half of the first-year medical students started the TM program, mm-hmm. and part of it's due also to the participation of the admissions and counseling staff, who really told the students, you really want to take advantage of this program that we have in residence, where we have a classroom set aside or a conference room set aside for them to meditate at whatever time of the day they need to, and they meditate twice a day on their own program. And, you know, this program is so helpful in this setting and with veterans and other people because they can just do it wherever they are, whenever they need mm-hmm. to. And they have a very systematic, rigorous instruction, so they know exactly what to do. And they meditate with their eyes closed, sitting comfortably in a chair twice a day.
And medicine today is really oriented towards results mm-hmm. orientation. And I think that's one of the reasons we've doubled the capacity every year is because word of mouth has spread about this program, and the students are telling their colleagues that it works.
Yes, that makes sense.
And it's all about results orientation, which yeah. they're taught to use in medicine.
Right, and this is science-based. It isn't something unusual, which maybe just the word meditation may conjure up, but not so much today anymore because the research is compelling. And this is a group of people, I would assume, never having gone to medical school, but they're science-based, and they look at the evidence, and they make sure that it's legitimate. And so if that's already there and you have the evidence based on someone's experience, it makes sense that more and more people would want to jump in and not
exactly.
have to go through medical school constantly feeling this weight. You know, when I was talking to Carla yesterday, just a little preview for the show, I was very surprised to find out that there's a high level of suicide among physicians. And
In my year, Kathy, in my class, we had 120 students. Three attempted suicide, two were successful at it. The problem with suicide in medical school is that it's underreported. It's you probably lose about a class of medical students every year if you look at the entire number of med schools in the country through suicide.
You know, I had never heard that. I did not know that. And I think it's important to know because what they have to do, fine, they're studying and all that, but to have a balanced way of doing that, it makes so much sense. If you push too hard, something can crack, so you need some relief.
It carries through not only med school. It almost accelerates as you get into private practice. One of the busiest committees at most hospitals, at least in my practice years, was something called the Physician Impairment Committee. And what this committee did is it had its eyes open to see who was in trouble either through abuse of alcohol or drugs or depression, whatever. And they used to come to the doctor and tell them they had to take a break or they were suspended from staff. Well, over the years, the committee's name has now morphed into things like Physician Wellness Committee. So this is on the backs of docs and nurses throughout their career, not just in med school.
Yeah.
So if we could institute something like TM at the inception of the career, it would certainly help.
Oh, yeah. It would alleviate some of that buildup especially. And one of the things that happens with regular practice of TM is a resiliency. And maybe, Carla, can you tell us a little more about some of the research behind some of the benefits of this practice?
Yes, well, in the early 1970s, Dr. Robert Keith Wallace published two studies in Science and Scientific American where he identified what you described at the early part of the hour, That there are different states of consciousness and each has its physiology, and that with transcendental meditation, one experiences a unique style of functioning, and this is restful alertness, the mind more awake, the body deeply rested, and this has been replicated, and we refined our understanding, and we understand that the HPA axis, the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis, the cortisol levels, for example, in the physiology, are dramatically affected when we have enough rest. So this makes very great sense. The reason that the transcendental meditation technique is so effective with students, it's a mental technique, but it's really a technique to help anyone, any of your listeners, whether they're medical doctors, medical personnel, or patients or students, get out of their own way and experience their own inner awareness at this silent level. Again, you mentioned this earlier. But at this silent level of functioning, which sounds abstract, if you're doing this technique properly, and that's the whole secret here, you need to be taught properly how to do it. But once you have been taught, you're an expert at it. It's very easy. And what happens is that the physiology knows how to get rid of stress if it gets enough rest. And when you meditate correctly, that means not pushing the mind, not forcing thoughts and so on, which is what we teach you, how to not push, how to stay out of your way and practicing this simple technique. The mind knows how to transcend. It uses the natural tendency of the mind to seek greater happiness. It's very, very effortless. But what happens is that this innate capacity that we have to restore functioning, to rejuvenate, is immediately achieved. And that's why we have very, very quick response to reducing cortisol levels, for example. And that means we reverse the effects of chronic stress and cause the stress response to become more efficient. So in the same way, restful alertness allows students who are practicing TM, you can imagine a medical student having the experience of being more awake in their classes, and they describe that. They describe being more awake and finding, to their surprise, that to study 10 or 12 hours a day becomes an enjoyable process where they engage in the material rather than completely wear themselves out and become fatigued and burned out. It's not just memorizing material that causes this burnout that we're talking about. There's a systemic situation in medicine. There's been a lot of transformation of medicine and a lot of pressures put on hospitals, on all the different players who are deciding treatments and so on. But physicians find themselves locked in a routine where they have very little time with a patient, very little sometimes decision-making capacity, or less than they would like, and less ability to practice medicine. And right, Jim?
Boy, I identify with a lot of what you're saying there. The biggest thing that's happened in medicine in the past 20 years is the seizing of autonomy from the physician. No physician can make an independent decision today without, like you say, many eyes looking over the shoulder and telling him or her what to do. And in some regard, the doctor today is as much the patient as the patient is. And that's what we're talking about. You've got to, like they say on the airplane, that script, you've got to put the oxygen on yourself first before you can put it on your child. And it's kind of a bad analogy, but you get the drift.
Yeah, it's an important one, though. And it's the theme of this show is, for success on any level, you do have to take the time and make sure you're healthy. And that could be, you know, whatever we're doing that we obviously know, good routines and foods and such. But there's even more than that, because that doesn't always, that's not always enough. So to take this deeper rest and allow the system to rejuvenate at these more profound levels, it just allows the outcomes to be better. Can you also, I'm sorry, Dr. Bray, I was going to ask.
No, I was just going to say, one of the students in reflecting in those reflection papers that Carla mentioned came up with something that struck me. I don't know if it was a man or a woman who said this, but the quote was something along the lines of, this technique allows the central nervous system to naturally cure itself. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly what it does. Another student said something along the lines that if it was a pill, it would be in everybody's medicine cabinet.
Yeah, that's true. Because that's what we know. We're so used to the concrete and the familiar. But this is right. A little different. And I think that today, especially, we're able to talk about this much more clearly. People understand it more quickly. You don't need a whole lot of explanation, but the science behind it is really important and compelling, because that means it's something that's measurable. It's something that's experiential. It's not something just out there. It's something in there. And to draw from within and allow it to come on into the outer world, it just makes so much sense these days. And many, many people, and I would say in the last 5 years or so, I've probably taught TM to more physicians and other healthcare professionals than I ever did before. And I
That's
think
wonderful.
They're very alert now to making sure that they don't get burned out, or they can do whatever they can to prevent it or to curb it. We all want to feel good. Everybody does. And they have all this responsibility for someone else's health. It's kind of like the mother, and I teach a lot of mothers who get worn out. And I say, well, you're so engrossed in making sure your family is healthy, you've forgotten to take care of yourself. And the one thing I tell them is, if you run out of gas, nobody's going anywhere. So the physician, to be healthy and vibrant and be their best self, it makes a lot of sense. But I don't think we've ever really helped them, especially in the medical schools. And now with this program, it's very important. And I hope, and I think when talking to Carla, it sounds like more and more schools are interested in a program like this.
Well, yeah. They are. I think it would be a good idea to have Dr. Bray talk about what happens in the brain, because you know, this is a very concrete outcome, very unique outcome from anything else you'll hear about in terms of transforming the physiology and allowing the healing mechanism that he's talking about and that the students are observing. Dr. Bray?
Yeah, a lot of this information has been known since the 70s, but with the advent of newer technology in the medical field, like functional MRIs and better EEG equipment and other machinery, we know a lot more precisely. Some of the things that the research has shown is that TM, like Carla has said, dramatically decreases cortisol, which is the adrenal hormone that is the cause of a lot of the stress that we feel. It just harms every system in the body negatively. But what I'll just give you some of the things that research has found. I've always felt that the number one reason anybody should consider this technique is what it does to the central nervous system. It encourages the downshifting of beta waves. The beta waves in the brain are one of the faster wavelengths that are associated with anxiety and stress, but also clearer thinking if they're harmonious and in coherence. But it encourages the downshifting of that and the appearance of something that's called alpha waves, which have always been associated with peace and calmness and happiness. We see that not only sporadically in the brain, but throughout both hemispheres, and they're lined up both in amplitude and in frequency. That's called coherence. And that's always been associated not only with a happy state, but with more efficient functioning. You'll see it in people that are successful, for instance, people that are high achievers, I'll call it. Another thing that has been shown is that serotonin, which is it's been called the happy hormone. That actually increases in people that practice TM. The prefrontal cortex is the area of the brain right in back of the forehead. This is the area that controls all other aspects of the brain, but it's also something that is, in a lot of people who are under stress, it's not even active. It's offline. People that meditate, by functional MRI readouts, shows that this area lights up, gets more blood flow, and it's this prefrontal cortex area has been associated not only, again, with happiness, but with clearer thinking, a clearer sense of self, long-range planning, inhibition of, or control of inhibitions, I should say. For instance, if you did a CAT scan or an MRI of somebody who was a prisoner at the Cook County Jail, you'd see that the prefrontal cortex wasn't even functioning. Yet if you did the same thing on him or her, if he was, say, meditating for a few months, they'd be active. It's amazing. Another thing that it does is it increases oxytocin, which is colloquially called the love hormone, the hormone that makes us want to associate with people. That's elevated. So all those things that I just mentioned, I would put in the happiness category. Mm-hmm. It makes you happier. Now, the stress, decreasing the stress, we mentioned the cortisol. That decreases. Epinephrine decreases. The area of the brain called the amygdala, which is near the hippocampus, the amygdala is kind of the portal that lights up when we're most anxious and under stress. And over time, it can double in size in people that are fraught with these illnesses or diseases. In TMers, the amygdala downshifts and can shrink in size. Mm. In cardiovascular circles, the blood pressure decreases. Stroke volume, which is the amount of blood that's pumped out per beat, actually decreases. Respiratory rate goes down, as Kathy mentioned. Muscle tension decreases. All these things are associated with a decreased stress response. That's what Carla meant when she was talking about restful alertness. Mm-hmm. And some of these position papers from the students reflect all the things that we've mentioned. I always look at science as kind of opening the door, almost like reading the menu. Mm. And it will entice somebody to perhaps entertain learning this technique. But what I've seen, at least in the medical school and among the patients over the years I've referred to, is that once they learn the technique and actually taste the meal, they're lifelongers.
So we have one of the things that we're seeing with our students concretely. So this translates, I mean, you know, it's also, Kathy was feeling that it was shocking to observe what happens to physicians under a lot of high stress. And, you know, people in a lot of different professions are suffering from high levels of burnout and stress in the society generally. And they feel, trapped almost. They feel so much overwhelming stress that they don't know what to do. And in some cases, they have a stigma. They can't really talk about it with other people, and this leads to even greater problems. But with the TM technique, they have a way of self-regulating that is totally benign. You know, it's not. There's no belief associated with it either. Dr. Bray is a practicing Catholic. We teach all different religions. It's not religious, and it doesn't have any side effects. It is something that is really triggering this healing mechanism, this capacity for the physiology to restore its functioning. It does so efficiently, and I would say differently than any other meditation technique, because we do have a number of meta-analyses that show that. And we can talk about that, but...
Remember the dean? remember when Dean Brubaker was being interviewed on the PBS station in Chicago, and they asked her what her view of TM was, and she made the statement that it was a totally non-invasive technique with no real noticeable negative side effects, holistic in nature. And then she went on to say that it's a no-brainer to introduce this to the medical school.
Yes, and what we're seeing is what medical students, what doctors, what we'd want to see in any doctor of ours, what we'd like to see in the future, that we can go to a doctor and find that they're meditating because they have their attention is clear, they're able to give more attention because they feel happier inside, as Jim is saying. Very important. And their intelligence improves, their creativity, their learning ability, because, it's not, they're noticing that they're learning, and it's because stress is dissolved. Their memory improves. And they have faster learning, learning of new concepts, improved academic performance. Their grades improve. They find that they are able to get along better and to make more considered and better judgments in terms of medicine, in terms of moral reasoning, and they have a greater sense of their own self-esteem, a self-worth. This is all speaking to the fact that, the TM technique does help people who have issues like anxiety or depression or high levels of stress to deal with. But the other side of the coin is that they're able to enjoy life more. Mm-hmm. And I think, Jim, you've mentioned that in your life, it wasn't just that your profession improved, but that all of life improved.
Oh, every aspect. That's what Brubaker meant. Dean Brubaker meant when she said it was holistic. It's like Maharishi said years and years ago: you water the root and enjoy the fruit. That's a short phrase, but it really does say it all. Happiness seems to be the motive for everything in life, and this grants that.
I think the important word here that we're using is that this isn't something that you're manufacturing. So we're removing the stress by doing less. The system is settling down in a very natural way, and it's able to, in that state, engage its own self-repair mechanisms. That's why these results are so compelling, because you're allowing the system to do what it's designed to do without all that extra weight that it's carrying around that it doesn't need, all that fog that we get, and if we don't have a way to release it. So it's I often will tell people, this is not a magic pill or formula. This is just engaging the nature of the physiology at a deeper level than it's something that's already there. It knows how to transcend, it knows how to repair, but to do it regularly and to do it systematically is where you're really going to see some evidence, some real results.
Well, speaking of that, Kathy, there was a wonderful researcher, Marie Loisel, who did a study at Stritch looking at the effect of TM on physician burnout, and she found a dramatic significant reduction in burnout, in insomnia, and depression among the physicians, and she interviewed them. And for some of the physicians, they found the transcendental meditation technique. They described how life-changing it was for them, and how, with one of the things that physicians face in medicine is an onslaught of patients, day in and day out, people coming with the same. Say you're in a specialty, and she was in a surgical specialty where people were coming every day with things, and she was in the condition of burnout where she didn't want to hear from individual patients and didn't want to spend time speaking with them before she started TM. And afterwards, she felt much more inclined and much happier relating to her patients and listening to them and giving them that attention and holistic care that was so, you know, so important. And a number of the young students who are at this stage, some of them are in their first year when they start, and they're doing a lot of study, and they are surprised to find, you know, some of the outcomes with TM, even at the genetic level. We've had Dr. John Fagan come and talk about genetic expression, or at the more of the econometric level, Dr. Robert Heron. So one of the students said, quoted back to us what Dr. Heron was saying, that there was a dramatic, I think it was several trillion dollars worth of savings that Dr. Heron described to us would be available if we instituted the TM program for healthcare for not only the physicians but also for the patients. In other words, this self-regulating benefits of transcendental meditation would bring about such a change in the economy that we would not have some of the problems we have in medicine, even for the healthcare providers. In other words, a lot of the problems that the physicians are finding have to do with the pressure on medicine from the outpacing costs of medicine.
So 50%
if we're
of the
able
patients
to reduce the cost of delivering services and the efficiency of delivering services, then we can go back to being more of a caring physician and not, not actually damaging the physician in the process and not damaging the nurses. We've been teaching transcendental meditation to the nurses at the Niehoff School of Medicine, and also in nurses around the country have been learning TM, and they've been getting very, they really carry a lot of stress as well.
Women are tougher than men, but I'll tell you, the nurses, I don't want to say that all nurses are women, but the vast majority still are. But the nurses take the brunt of the stress in the medical community, I think. They are 90% of the work at the hospital. Doctors come and go. And doctors are busy in that they don't have hours, enough hours for leisure and for downtime, because they're always busy, but they're not always with the patients the way the nurses are. It's brutal for nurses.
And there's a whole program for nurses that teaching transcendental meditation to nurses, and they're reporting a dramatic reduction in the research in compassion fatigue, which is another
huge
way to say a burnout. And but I think what we're saying to like sum it up in terms of the physiology is it's a shame if we continue to have this kind of situation exist, because we have the resource that's most important in changing the equation. And that resource is our own neurophysiology. It has to do with the brain, as Dr. Bray is saying. Dr. Bray?
No, I said that's the key. It all starts there.
So it has to do with the capacity to experience restful alertness is innate to everyone, and that the resources, the inner resources that one experiences in the expansion of awareness, cause the body to lose stress and lose fatigue and dissolve toxins and eliminate any block to the functioning, and so creating more balance in the physiology. And then groups of people practicing the Transcendental Meditation Program, what we're finding in the medical school, and this is what we see in groups where this is introduced in business, there can be more synergy. I wanted Dr. Bray to talk about that, because he's definitely, as an OB-GYN physician, was in a field really having to do with group
Well, the stats that you guys mentioned earlier about the 50% burnout, I totally agree with that. It might even be higher because I think everything's underreported these days. But I remember going to the physician lounge over the years, and what's displayed in the privacy among my colleagues as opposed to what the doctors exposed to their patients is completely different. In the lounges where doctors are talking to one another, there was an air of just stress and negativity and why am I in this profession and marital breakdown. And, you know, and I never was a victim of any of that. I attribute a hell of a lot of it to my practice of meditation. I also had a healthy, happy marriage with wonderful kids, but I still give most of the value to the TM that I learned. It's probably, I'm going to go off tangent a little bit. Having been brought up as a Catholic, once I started meditating, I came to the realization that a lot of the characteristics that were developing in me and in the patients that I referred this technique to, they started developing traits that St. Paul talked about, fruits of the Spirit, things like ability to love, joy in life, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. All those things started coming naturally. And I got to thinking that if these things could spontaneously appear, if you get out of your way, like Carla said, the problems in our society, not just in the medical community, would dissipate, would disappear overnight. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to bring this program to Loyola. Hopefully that's serving as a seed for other medical schools wanting the same thing. And this is starting to come to fruition now through contact with other schools.
Well, I was just going to mention that. We have about 5 minutes of the show left, and I did want to come full circle, and that's what you seem to be doing, Jim. And tell us what you see as happening for the future of whether it's a medical school or the medical field as a whole. I think the word that stands out for me that you said earlier was no-brainer. You were quoting someone, but
it does make
a lot of sense what we're saying. And it is not any kind of a pitch or anything. It's just, here's something that works. The evidence is there. And it, just on a logical level, if you think of stress as a tight knot, and now you have less of those, you're going to function better anyway. And if you're doing this regularly over time, that just gets richer, and that richness involves your happiness, not just your tangible success, but your inner success. So if you don't mind taking the last couple minutes of our show, and Carla can jump in as well, but just where do you see this leading? And I want to congratulate both of you for bringing this to our attention, that this is an important area for any area of life, but for our medical community, which is often in our thinking, you know, for healthcare and doing the best we can to stay healthy and live a good life. And we look to our physicians for advice and help. We want to make sure that they also have that opportunity to enjoy this kind of self-care. So can you just give us a few thoughts on that as we close out the show?
Well, what I've seen reflected in some of the statements made by the students at Loyola over the past couple of years, they, unlike my generation and certainly the generation that preceded me, they want to balance the life. They want to get the what Maharishi would call the 200% life, where you're not only in contact with the absolute, if you want to call it that, or with our heart, but also with the external, with the ability to achieve in the world. And they want to achieve a balance that my generation perhaps wasn't aware we could. So they talk about lifestyle. They don't want to work the 60, 70, 80-hour work week that my generation did. And TM gives them access not only to that knowledge, but the ability to accomplish such a thing. One of the students said that this program hopefully will create ambassadors of TM for the medical community and the world thereafter. that would be my wish and prayer. I mean, that was why we instituted this thing to start with years ago. I talked about St. Paul, but the other thing that came to my mind is Abraham Maslow, the psychologist from 1960s. He talked about self-actualization. That's something that these millennials really are into more than my time in med school. And TM will certainly accelerate some of the traits that Maslow talked about. I'd encourage your readers to go on Google and just type in Maslow's self-actualization characteristics. That's what TM really grants. I think it's all about balance, Kathy.
Yeah, I agree.
I would also just encourage anybody who thinks, so this is just wishful thinking, to look at the 395 peer-reviewed studies on the TM technique, and we are going to post a link to the article published by the Chicago Medical Society about this program at Loyola, and also to look at the cardiovascular research that was funded by the NIH, looking at the effects of TM on cardiovascular health, because you cannot make this up. This isn't something that comes from wishful thinking.
Well, I want to thank both of you very much. We're headed out the door now, but I deeply appreciate you taking your time and explaining this very important program and how any of us can enjoy some relief from stress and improve the quality of our health and well-being. So thank you, Dr. Bray. Thank you, Carla, for being
thank
with
you,
us
Kathy.
Today. And I wish everyone out there deep peace and happiness and good health.
One of David Bowie's friends said if he were to pick one music documentary to watch, it would be the film Beside Bowie, The Mick Ronson Story. On Thursday, January 17th, you'll get your chance as WPKN screens Beside Bowie, The Mick Ronson Story at the Bijou Theater in downtown Bridgeport. This is the story of Mick Ronson, primarily in the early 70s as lead guitarist in the Spiders from Mars, and how important he was to Bowie's career. It's told by those who knew him best: Lou Reed, Angie Bowie, Ian Hunter, Tony Visconti, with narration by David Bowie himself. Doors open at 6 p.m. with some David Bowie and Mick Ronson music in the lobby, accompanied by a Two Roads beer tasting. The movie screens at 7 p.m. Tickets are $12 at the door or in advance at BijouTheaterCT.net. WPKN thanks sponsors Two Roads and the Bridgeport DSSD. That's Beside Bowie on Thursday, January 17th at the Bijou in Bridgeport.
There are two